much. I'm going to turn to Daniel chapter 4, fourth chapter, the book of Daniel, starting at verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar was at rest in mine house, and flourishing in my palace. Let me read that again. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house, and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. And the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit, let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over thee. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off the sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. I think we'll leave it there. I want to finish this, but that is a long portion, and we hope to cover the rest of it in the time given. This is an amazing chapter. It is unique in the Word of God. It was written, or at least dictated, by Nebuchadnezzar to one of his scribes. It could very well have been to Daniel, who was a scribe in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. In fact, he was the chief scribe. This is an official state document signed off by Nebuchadnezzar, and it is addressed to the subjects of his vast empire, both far and wide. The first three verses are a preamble. They are an introduction that he gives to the document. It's his personal testimony of God's dealing with him, which led to his conversion from paganism to acknowledging with all his heart the supremacy of the King of Heaven. He got saved. It says in verse 37, and we didn't read it, but I will now. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all whose works are truth. They're true, they're right. And his ways are just, and those who will walk in pride, he is able to abase. He is able to humble. That's what he did to me, he says. And it was his desire that all the world hear this amazing proclamation of his conversion to the service of the Most High God, to the God of Israel. What is truly amazing is that God did something with this document, with this official state document, that Nebuchadnezzar never in his wildest dreams could have imagined. He incorporated into the Word of God. He incorporated his testimony into his own living word. And we have it here in Daniel 4. It was written by Nebuchadnezzar. The Word of God, which will never pass away. And here we have the climax of Nebuchadnezzar's spiritual journey. A journey which began years earlier when he recognized the excellency of character of Daniel and his three companions and their deep conviction about not defiling themselves with eating the king's meat offered to idols in chapter 1. That really impressed him. It continued in chapter 2 with the dream of the great image, which none of his wise men could describe, but which godly Daniel could and did. And then he interpreted and he acknowledged that the God of Daniel as a God of gods and a Lord of kings. He never bent the knee, but at least he acknowledged it. And then in chapter 3, when the three companions would not worship his idol, they were preserved in the fiery furnace. We looked at that when we were in back in July. And there was a fourth walking in the midst of the fire. And the form of the fourth, Nebuchadnezzar said, was like the Son of God. And he blessed the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He blessed them, but he never trusted them. He was never saved there. And he soon lapsed back into his heathenism, to his paganism. There is no doubt that Daniel was a man of prayer. We'll look at that when we come next time. He was a man of prayer. And I believe he prayed for Nebuchadnezzar. I think he prayed for his conversion for many years, that he would put his trust in the Most High God of heaven. Till thou know that the Most High God ruleth in the Most High, in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, as it says in verse 25. There's an interesting verse in Job 33:14. Elihu says, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction." God was speaking to Nebuchadnezzar through dreams. We just read about the second one that he had. This one is a number of years after the first dream. In this document, he recounts the details of his dream, which frightened him, and of Daniel's interpretation and his subsequent humbling by God and of his conversion. He begins by saying, "Peace be multiplied unto you." He's writing to everyone. And what he's saying to his people is, "Be blessed with numberless mercies that peace produces." That's the language of a converted man. The terrified nations need fear him no longer. His war campaigns are over. And he was now at peace with God and with men. And he was overwhelmed by the great mercy of God, which had reached out into his wicked life, had touched him. And he was now at peace with God and with man. He was saved. "I believe I'm going to meet him someday in glory." And he wants all to know this. Much like what the psalmist in Psalm 66 in verse 6 says, "Come and hear ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." And that's what Nebuchadnezzar wanted. Evidence of his glorious change of heart is that he wanted all to know that God had done for his soul, that the peace of God was in his heart. And he wanted others to have the same peace which he now experienced. This was no small matter for this great monarch to renounce his paganism and declare his faith in the God of Israel. In turning from idols, the central idol of Babylon was Baal, or Bel, to serve the living and true God. What we have here is a remarkable account of a human soul and of God's dealing with him. And the same God who can save the poor and lowly is able to save the high and mighty. No one is beyond his reach. Verse 2, "I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me." Signs are displays of his power. Seen. Wonders is the subjective effect that the signs produce on the person who experiences or witnesses the sign. And he's going to do that in this document. He's going to talk about a sign of what God did to him. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. How wonderful are the things by which he makes himself known to us. How mighty are his wonders that produce such admiration in one's heart. And his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar, the mightiest monarch then on earth, but the God of heaven had the power to bring him down. How much mightier is God? He realized that the throne of God was the only one that was stable and permanent, and convinced that he reigned over all. An eternal God from generation to generation. And the same God who reigned in Nebuchadnezzar's day reigns today and will forever. Paul says, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 4, he begins his testimony by relating an incident about a dream he had. At that time, he was at rest upon his throne, living in great luxury in the greatest city in the world of that time. In fact, one of the seven wonders of the world were the Babylonian gardens. Beautiful place. He had conquered all the nations that could possibly threaten his empire. The wealth of the world was pouring in materially and politically. He was self-satisfied, but spiritually he was greatly troubled. He had peace in his kingdom, but no peace in his heart. Financially wealthy, spiritually bankrupt. He believed there was a God. He had witnessed his mighty works, but he had no personal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he says, I saw in verse 5, I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. The world was flourishing for him. He was prospering. And the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. He did not have peace. And the peace that he was enjoying physically was about to be disturbed by God, the same God who years earlier had caused him to dream about future empires, seen in that image of chapter 2, caused him to dream again, except on this occasion, the dream concerned him and his personal future, and it caused him great anxiety. He knew there was a message in it, and that was conducive to his peace and safety. And that was not conducive to his peace. That this was God once again dealing with him. On the previous occasion, the king demanded his wise men to make known to him both the dream and the interpretation. They couldn't do it. This time, the king knew his dream, but they were helpless before him, verse 7. At last, Daniel was brought before the king, and to him the king made known the vision that so distressed him. And so Daniel came in before me, whose name is Belteshazzar. And I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, verse 9, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. We're not sure why Daniel wasn't brought in before. Perhaps he was giving his wise men yet another opportunity to earn their keep. But their failure caused him to call on Daniel. Calls him Daniel before he calls him Belteshazzar, his Hebrew name. And then he distinguishes between my God and the holy gods. Was there a level of respect for Daniel, remembering how he had given details regarding the first dream, as well as an increasing respect for the God of Daniel above the gods of the heathen? He calls him master of the magicians, above all the magicians, and that he was in touch with Jehovah, God of the Hebrews. And he knew he was holy, and that no secret troubled him, and that Daniel's spiritual supply came from God. He could tell him both the vision and the interpretation, and so he begs him to tell him. Thus were the visions of my head in my bed. Verse 10, I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree was extremely tall and strong, and it was situated in the midst of the earth, and it reached into heaven, and the branches extending afar, and they were fixed firmly in the earth, and it was visible in all points of the earth. The leaves were beautiful, green and abundant, a healthy tree in its full beauty and majesty, and it was loaded with fruit, food for all. For the beasts of the field, it provided shade from the burning sun, a picture of a sovereign affording protection to his people. So too the birds of the heavens, they reared their young undisturbed, and all flesh was fed of it, and it furnished protection and food for all. It's interesting, trees in Scripture depict both men and nations. For instance, Israel is depicted as a vine, as a fig tree, as an olive tree. Joseph was pictured as a fruitful bough. The Lord himself shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root of a dry ground. And here this tree depicts Nebuchadnezzar personally. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher. And a holy one, one and the same, by the way. He's a watcher, but he's also a holy one. Come down from heaven. And so the next event in his dream, it was the descent from heaven of a being, a watcher, a holy one. It refers to an angel and what he does. What does the angel do? He observes, he watches. He's a watcher. It's interesting. In the New Testament, we read of angels watching. 1 Corinthians 11:10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head. Why? Because of the angels. The angels are watching. Watching for those who practice godly order in the meetings of the assembly. In 1 Peter 1:12, angels desire to look into the purpose of God with respect to salvation. They're watching. They're wanting to learn. And he cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit, and let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from its branches. The watcher, he was bringing a message from heaven that the tree with all of its greatness is to be cut down. The branches removed. But that it was to be preserved by a band of iron and brass. The stump would be nurtured by the tender grass and moistened by the dew which comes down from heaven. So it wasn't to die. It was to be preserved. Now it's interesting to note the grammatical changes which occur in this section. In verses 10 to 12, the pronouns used are neuter, it. But in verses 14 to 16, the Holy Spirit changes the pronoun. And here the watcher uses masculine pronouns, giving the distinct impression that the tree is a person. And it is. He speaks of his portion in verse 15, of his heart be changed in 16, and let a beast's heart be given to him in verse 16. And so it's becoming very clear that the tree is the personification of a man. And let seven times pass over him. A time is equivalent to a year, and so we're talking 7 years. Verse 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basis of men. Nebuchadnezzar has come to know that divine revelation has been given to him through the decree of the watchers, that this is from God. The intent is for him to know that the Most High God was over all and in control. That was the purpose. It's important to note that while one watcher alone descended, the decree, that is the sentence, the verdict, is communicated by a corporate body of watchers. They appear to form a heavenly court carrying out his will, that they are his executors. And that's what the angels are. They are the executors of the righteousness of God. In Job 1:6, we read of gatherings of angels before the Lord. The decree of the watchers was for Nebuchadnezzar to realize that human rule was in a higher and more authoritative hand than any earthly ruler, and that God would delegate that rule to any man that he chose. Paul says in Romans 13:1, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. The dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen, this dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen, verse 18. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. Daniel was stunned, appalled, as he realized the severity of the sentence passed on Nebuchadnezzar. Troubled by the serious implications which he was about to relate to the king. And here we learn something of the compassion of Daniel. His heart was moved. He was saddened because of his heart's concern for his spiritual need. And so he spent time interceding for Nebuchadnezzar. So too we need the same holy concern for souls that the lost might come to Christ. Years ago in London, there was a large gathering of noted people, and among was a famous preacher by the name of Cesar Millan. A young lady played and sang charmingly, and everyone was thrilled. Very graciously and tactfully and yet boldly, he went up to her after the music had ceased. And he said, I thought as I listened to you tonight how tremendously the cause of Christ would be benefited if your talents were dedicated to his cause. You know, young lady, you are a sinner in the sight of God, but I am glad to tell you that the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, can cleanse you from all sin. She snapped out a rebuke for his presumption. Lady, I mean no offense. I pray God's spirit will convict you of your sin. They all returned to their homes. That young woman retired, but she couldn't sleep. The face of the preacher appeared before her, and his words rang through her mind. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, she sprang from her bed, took a pencil and paper with tears dripping from her face, and she wrote, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Charlotte Elliott, she was saved that night through the witness of Cesar Millan. So too Daniel. The king sensed trouble ahead. He recognized Daniel's anxiety. Belteshazzar, let not the dream nor the interpretation thereof trouble thee. He said, tell me that no harm will come to you. And Daniel lifted up his shoulders and looking him in the eye, interpreted the dream. And in verse 22, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto the heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. This much sounded good, very satisfying to the king, catered to his pride. The great tree represented him. But he was not at ease for long. The watcher, the Holy One, coming down from heaven to cut down the tree while leaving the stump on the earth, and it would live again. And he says, this is the interpretation, O king, and this is the judicial decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and shall make thee to eat grass as ox, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." He was to be humiliated. He would lose his rationality. He would become a beast. And he would eat the grass. The stump was a promise that he would not die, nor would he lose his empire. It was designed to bring him to a personal experience with the Lord. He had received knowledge of the way of salvation, but he had failed to submit. He was a proud man, and he trusted in his own rationality rather than in the God of heaven. And he refused to repent, be made right with God. In verse 27, Daniel begged him to do this, but he refused to forsake his sin, the chief of which was pride. "O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Hear me before it's too late. Continue in sin no longer." But like Felix of old, he said to Paul, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." And for many, it never comes. In verse 28, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. We're talking a year later. There was no sign of repentance or of turning to God. There was no evidence of conversion. We can almost visualize him walking about the palace roof, overlooking the greatest city in the world, and saying to himself, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom, by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" And as he walked in the light of his glory, he was confronted with tragedy. Verse 31, "While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, 'O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee.'" God had allowed 12 months to pass for him to repent and to obey the counsel given, and he had not. And the judgment fell on him. And the great king was driven from men, and he did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Verse 33. The long suffering of God had waited 12 months, and then the judgment fell. Scripture draws a veil over the seven-year period. Is it a picture of the 7 years when God will judge the nations as he judged Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar had closed his eyes to God's gentle chidings, and he brought great chastisement on him, and it was severe, but it was purposeful. "And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praise and honored him that liveth forever, whose kingdom is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation." A miraculous change took place in his heart. And he now blessed and praised and honored the God of heaven. And he willingly acknowledged his eternality and supremacy in the world. Verse 35, "He doeth according to his own will in heaven and on earth, and none can stay his hand and say, 'What doest thou?'" The discipline of God had done its work. The desired result had occurred. His pride was gone. He acknowledged that he was able to abase. Pride is the crowning sin, not greed or lust or murder, but pride and the failure to acknowledge God in human affairs. It was the sin of Lucifer. It was the sin of Eve. Shall be as gods. Proverbs says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." That God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. The Bible says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." It was the sin of sins. Let us be aware. The last we see of Nebuchadnezzar was a thoroughly converted man praising God with all his heart and soul. And just as there was hope for him, so too for any and all, whether rich or poor, mighty or meek. All one need do is what Nebuchadnezzar did, and that is to humble himself before God, to cry out to him for mercy, and do what Daniel did for Nebuchadnezzar 3 times a day. He prayed for him. Nebuchadnezzar was a saved man. Not long after he died. He was very close to the end when this occurred. Unfortunately, those that followed him were not converted. And we'll look at that a little bit when we come next time. Well, the Lord bless this short meditation on his word. Let's pray. Father, we do bow in your holy presence this evening hour. And our Father, we thank you for this account written by Nebuchadnezzar, his own testimony of how God dealt with him and how he was finally brought to that point of acknowledging the God of heaven and praising him. He became a saved man. And we delight in this. Our Father, we pray for each one, including the speaker, that we would be very careful with regard to the sin of pride, as Nebuchadnezzar experienced it. And what a terrible thing it is to not humble oneself before God. We need to do that. And so, Father, we pray your blessing upon your word. We thank you for the refreshments that are downstairs. Thank you for the hands that prepared it. We dismiss us now with thy blessing, we pray, as we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
You want me to call next week, Stu?